And plan on staying in Exodus on Wednesday nights, but I don't know. I just felt, honestly, I'll tell you the truth, I just felt like studying Proverbs. We haven't been in Proverbs for a while, and I figured maybe they need to get a break. Only one or two of you are sick enough to love being yelled at all the time. Most normal people, Johnny, I said normal people, not you. Most normal people appreciate it being a little more low-key once in a while. So I got to say this, though. It's a blessing to be pastor in a church where people love preaching. And I got liberty. I don't feel like I'm being critiqued and criticized, and I can just let loose and just be myself and just preach. And I appreciate that, man. I would anyhow, even if you didn't let me. But that creates a problem in the spirit. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm tense and frustrated, and you know I'm doing this in your face because you're not going to control my preaching, and you know that doesn't work. The Lord doesn't show up in that stuff. And I know preachers sometimes will say something and then they got to back up and I didn't mean that. It's like, my word, man. You don't have any liberty to preach and teach the Bible like that. And there is no pulpit anywhere, and I've preached a lot of places. There's no pulpit anywhere I'd rather preach in than right here. And you say, well, that's your pulpit. Well, yes, but I think it's the reception from the pew. And I appreciate very much a church that encourages me to preach. If anything, I get pushed to preach harder. And you guys, you just nasty people. You like me being mean. Visitors don't always understand, you know, that this guy is not as mean as he sounds. So I can only take it so far. Proverbs 28, are you there? Let's read verse number 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I like that verse. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, we'll get to that in a minute, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you that you're God, and I'm not. It's a good thing I'm not, Lord, and you are. And I thank you for hearing my prayer right now. And Lord, I ask you now to get in this thing, make it real, speak to the hearts of your people. I pray, God, you'd give every single person in this room, including the kids, Lord, give them something that they need. I know the little ones, Lord, are coloring, but I still pray the Holy Spirit of God would just get them with one thing that they may need individually to help them, God. And I pray that for every individual here, speak to our hearts, God, feed us, strengthen us, help us to leave here knowing that we'd heard from you and feeling refreshed and strengthened here in the middle of our week. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That first verse, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. That verse sunk into me when I was a kid. That verse got me good, and I remember the day that this verse was immediately burned into my head. Some verses you have to go memorize, you know, you got to work on them. Some verses you hear them and they're burned in. This verse was burned into my brain at an age about somewhere in elementary, probably 8, 9 years old, and I never forgot it. Here's how it happened. I was working. My dad was working at the Christian school where we went to school. My parents were very poor. We lived in Livonia, 7 miles in the Middle Belt. And we went to school right across the street at Galilean Baptist Educational Ministries or whatever they called it. And the school wing was pretty large. It was a pretty decent sized school. They didn't have the money to put us in school. So what they would do is on the weekends, they would clean the whole school building to get money taken off the tuition. I don't think it covered the whole thing, but a big chunk of it. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to be creepy and weird. It might be psychological. It might just be in your head. But there is something about a church building at night when it's dark outside. Okay? Maybe that's just a psychological thing. Now, I'm not trying to claim any more than that. But it's a bizarre place to be at night when you're a little boy. And my parents, when I say clean, I mean they had, you remember those the big mops, they still use them, the wide mops for like a gym. So we mopped the whole thing. After they mopped it, after they swept it, they mop it, the whole thing.
So Pickett going in the classrooms, picking all the chairs up, putting them on the tables, mopping, everything was tile. Mopping under the tables, clean the bathrooms, and then the rooms were lined, the sides of the building were lined with windows, so they had to spray and wash all the windows. I'm talking a major chore, upstairs and downstairs. A major chore. So we'd be there late on Friday nights. And one particular Friday night, it's hard to explain, but the hallway was like an L, a real long, wide hallway, classrooms on either side, and then you come down to the end of the hallway and turn this way and went out outside. You go down the stairs to go outside. There's a big plate glass window right there. Well, my mom's down at that end, and she's mopping. And my dad's down at the other end, and he's mopping. And all of a sudden, man, we hear mom scream the most blood-curdling scream you ever heard in your life. And we hear like, and glass comes flying down. I'm down at this end with Dad looking down the hallway, and glass comes flying out there. I remember seeing that glass hit the ground and sliding across the ground, and Mom screaming. And my dad started like this crazy adrenaline. Like, I was like, whoa. He was, to me, I mean, like, dude, he could have tore Hulk Hogan to pieces. And at 6'2", he weighed everything like $160, maybe $165 at that point. But man, it didn't matter. He was my dad, and it was on, man. He goes running down the hallway, but it's wet. He slips and falls on the hallway, lands on a piece of glass there, his elbow's bleeding, he slides in, hits the wall, jumps up, runs down to the end of that little L shape there, runs past mom, runs down the steps, goes outside, and he sees a couple of kids that threw the rock through the window at my mom across a dark parking lot. And you could hear Dad just screaming. He's just running. In fact, he catches them down the block. They made it like past the first block. He catches them in an empty lot and grabs a hold of one kid. And his story is, he said, "How old are you?" When he got a hold of me, "How old are you?" The kid was like 16. He's, "Ah!" He walked him back, and then the 18-year-old followed him back because his brother got busted. I remember walking out there and seeing Dad. Dad had these two kids sitting in the parking lot, Indian style, with their hands folded behind their head like that. And he's over them like a drill sergeant. "Stop, boy!" I mean, he was so mad. And they were doing it. Dad called the cops. The cops came. What an awesome experience. I mean, telling you, man, when you're like a little kid like that, you're like, man, my dad kill anybody. Might have didn't hit nobody. Nothing happened. They just got scared because he was acting a fool. And so they got scared before they tested him out. But it was pretty cool for me. But after that, my fear in that building went through the roof. I thought I was scared before. I was scared now. Because I'm a little boy, man, and it's like, what's happening? Mom's sitting there crying, and the girls are just freaking out. My sisters are losing their minds. And I'm like, Man, after I was glued to my dad every time we went in there. I couldn't leave the room he was in. I was following him around, and I remember one day, he was standing there with the mop bucket, and he was pouring it out in the utility sink. And we're in that little janitor's closet. And I said, "Dad, you ever get scared?" And he said, "Well, yeah, Mike, yeah, I guess I get scared." I said, "You don't seem like you're scared." He said, "You know what, Mike? The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth. What are you afraid of? Ain't nobody coming after you. But the righteous are as bold as a lion." He said, "If you're living right, you can walk around like you're a lion in the building. Ain't nobody going to mess with a lion." And that verse burned into my head at that young age. And I got down in my guts. Man, if I'm doing right, what am I running from? You ever read your Bible and notice how those guys in the book of Acts, they were so bold? I mean, they get up and they preach. We were just looking at, Alex and I were just looking, there you are. Alex and I were just looking at it in here. They're getting persecuted. The church is getting persecuted, man. They're running for their lives. What are they getting persecuted for? Preaching Jesus. Preaching the truth. So they're being persecuted for preaching the truth, which, by the way, is coming to a theater near you before long. I'll get back to that in a second. But what are they doing while they're running? "Oh, this got us into trouble. Oh, if we just hadn't have been so bold. Oh, if we just hadn't have said Jesus was the only way. Oh, if we would have just been a little sweeter. But if I'd have just said it different. Maybe it was the way I put it. Maybe it's my personality." None of that was going on, man. The Bible says that as they fled under persecution, they preached Jesus everywhere they went. I mean, it's like, I don't want to preach them from jail, so catch me if you can. In the meanwhile, I'm going to keep doing whatever I did that made you mad, because I know it wasn't wrong. I'm just preaching Jesus. Now, I believe that's coming to us. And the reason I believe that is because nowadays, if you say there's no salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are considered somebody of hate speech. If you call sin sin because the Bible says it's sin, that's hate speech. If you say, no, if you believe in the religion of Islam, you're on your way to hell. You all of a sudden just sit, now they come and they're going to blow you up, they're going to burn your church building down, all this kind of junk. Well, you incited a riot. No, I didn't. I spoke my opinion. Hey, they'll strap bombs on themselves to blow me up for what I believe. But I can't say that if you believe what they believe, you're on their way to a devil's hell. You've rejected Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's not just a prophet like they say. He's the Son of God. Bizarre to me, man. It's bizarre to me. They believe the parts of your Bible that were the words of Jesus Christ in red. If you've got a red letter edition, the words of Jesus in red, that's what they believe, because they believe that Jesus was a prophet. What did Jesus himself say? I and my Father are one. He came from the Father. He's going back to the Father. Read the words of Jesus Christ. You cannot believe what they say they believe about the Bible if you're going to reject who Jesus Christ is. And if you reject who Jesus Christ is, you can't believe what they believe. You start pointing stuff out like that, and that's just hate speech. Funny to me, this generation, and I'm not sure, I'd say, you know, people 20 years younger than me. You go on to college campuses, and you go, you know, talk to them, and you discuss it with them. You know what's funny to me? They want you, let's not even talk about biblical Christianity. Let's just talk about conservative American values. They want you drummed out of society. Yes, I mentioned that news clip about that girl who grabbed the ball cap, a Make America Great red ball cap off a guy's head and wouldn't give it back to him. And she went in the office and the guy's videoing the whole thing. And she's just screaming at him and screaming at him, basically saying you need to be gone and everybody like you needs to be gone. We need you out of our society. We need you off our... You're going to let him wear this? You're going to let him wear this? This is supposed to be a free country. You're going to let him wear this? This is genocide! This represents genocide! We need to get rid of these people! And she is just cussing up a storm. Whoa! You wait till that generation, and she represents an entire generation. You wait till they're the ones you're voting in the next 20 years. You realize they're not gonna put up with you? You better get it in your gut right now that you ain't afraid of nobody. Amen. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So go ahead, what you want to do, honey? Beat me up? What are you going to do? No, I'm not going to change my position. I'm not going to back off. I'm preaching on this Sunday morning. If you don't know, I'm supposed to be teaching tonight, but I got a little preach in my guts right now. I'm sorry about that, but it's just how it is. I'm preaching on this Sunday morning. You know what we need? We need a generation who's not afraid to speak up for Jesus Christ. I'm sick of the cowards. Amen. I'm sick of the fear that is not making any sense. So afraid of how I look to other people. So afraid of what everybody's thinking about. You know what I try to set out to do? I set out in my life to find things that are my fears and conquer them. I got this problem with claustrophobia. I've always had two problems. Water and claustrophobia. Heights don't bother me. I would jump out of a plane for fun. Heights don't bother me. Water has bothered me. I'll tell you why. Religion. Religion ruined my love or any potential love of water. So what doesn't make any sense, preacher? How does that work? When your dad says you can't wear shorts, you gotta wear jeans, let's go swimming. Now, to his credit, he's like, man, I can't believe I was so crazy and all that. So, you know, but he came from a staunch Roman Catholic background. He stepped right into all that extra rules stuff and extra spirituality stuff as a young guy. Now he realizes that was crazy, but back then he didn't. So this is just my story. I'm not harping on him. God bless him. But you can't swim in jeans. I'm sorry. You jump in that water in jeans and a t-shirt, you know, a white t-shirt, of course, but it was a t-shirt, so it was good. You know what I'm saying? You'll get that later. I think you're ever going to learn how to swim. I was afraid of water my whole life. In the last year or two, I said, I'm beating this. Amen. I could have never been a Navy SEAL and been afraid of water. And one thing in my mind that I want to prove to myself is I could have done it. That's it. Amen. I'm figuring out water. And I've been going after water. I have claustrophobia issues. My dad saw that when I was a kid. So you know what that gracious, kind, sweet, loving guy did? He would pin me down and lay on my head. That does not help claustrophobia. He says, just relax, man. Just breathe. You're fine. You're fine. I'm not going to hurt you. You're not going to hurt you. It doesn't matter what you're saying right now. I would fight with everything in me. I never quit fighting, but he never let me up. I mean, I'm not still there. Obviously, he let me up, but he kept doing this exercise. So we kept going through this exercise, and it never cured me. I'll tell you this much. I never wrestled at all in high school, college, anything like that. But I had friends who were high school wrestlers, and I was a great wrestler. I don't know anything about the technique of wrestling, all that stuff. Wasn't trained. My buddies who were, when it came to feeling like I was getting pinned on my back, I went so nuts. I get out because I can't stand it. You know what I've decided I'm doing? I'm conquering that thing. And I'm doing better than I've ever been before. So if somebody like Todd decides they're going to lay on my head, bring it. Amen. Amen. Fear. You know what I hate? You know what I hate? Anytime I see cowardice in me. If I feel like there's a yellow bone in my body, I want to get that thing, rip it out, and replace it with steel. I don't like cowardice. You know what you live in? A generation of cowards. A generation of very weak men. Very weak. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Why are they so weak? Why are they running? Because they're wicked as hell. I'm telling you the truth right now. It's a funny thing that when a man is wicked, you'd think it'd make him a tough guy, but most of the time, it doesn't. You know how they get tough? In groups. How many times have you ever had some really tough guy, a wicked man? Now, I'm not saying there's not exceptions, okay? I'm not that stupid. But how many times have you had a wicked man just come after you on his own just for the fun of it? Usually, they come in groups. Why? They're wicked. They're cowards. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So what about fear? Because my dad used to point out to me in the parking lots, I don't know why he's coming up so much tonight, it wasn't in my notes, but he'd point out to me in the parking lots of the car when I was in high school, and said everybody had a big no fear thing was going on. And he'd say, see that right there? I'd say, yeah. He said, that means no brains, the dude's an idiot. Because be honest, everybody's got some fears. Pretend like you don't. Everyone,
I ain't afraid of no man.
You just ain't met the right guy yet. Yeah, amen. So what about fear? Does fear have a place in the Christian's life? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Keep your finger here in Proverbs. We'll be back in a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You realize courage is courageous, is contagious. Courageous. Profound, man. Courage is contagious. You ever get around a courageous guy? You know what happened with these idiots and this over there in off of I-75 there on the bridge? You guys see those boys that threw the rocks off and killed somebody? It was just a prank at 17 years old. You get a prank that kills somebody? I watched him walk into court. This is my guess, okay? I'm not saying this is fact. This is my guess. I watched him walk into court. You watch the body language of him. One of those guys, and I think I know who, I think it was a 17-year-old, the biggest kid there. One of those guys led the rest of those guys to do something stupid. And because one guy had the guts to do something stupid, the rest of them followed him right into it. And now they're sitting there going, I could go to jail for Be real careful about what kind of courage you catch and who you follow. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So when a Christian gets overwhelmed with the spirit of fear, you ever have that thing hit you? Man, I don't know what it was. When we started this church for the first couple of years, especially when we were early on, it was one thing after the other. It was the township, the fire department, random people from the community. It was like constantly I felt like something was after us. Somebody was after us. We'd have people come into service. Some guy wrote a book. They sell at Barnes & Noble. He's on a radio broadcast and all the rest of this stuff. And he'd come in and he was passing out his little flyers that proved his doctrines. And it was just always, always something. Some big shot somewhere. Somebody coming in trying to intimidate. So, you know what that thing is? The spirit of fear. And I get hit with that a little bit. I get like, man, like what's going on? Is this going to work? Are they going to shut us down? Are they going to run us out? That ain't from God. It's not from God. God says, give that guy a gospel track. And you go, yeah, but he looks like he doesn't. He looks pretty rough. That second spirit, that wasn't from God.
When God said, give the guy the gospel tract, you know what you should have done? Give him a tract. Oh, he's like 6'4 and like 240 and oh, yeah. A liar, I don't care. That's like, hey, man, that's the main course. Hallelujah. His homies, that'd be like dessert, you know? A lion doesn't care. Bold as a lion. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Now watch this. It's not a beat my chest because I'm a tough guy power and of love. So it's not a weak love. You got this spirit nowadays of, no, I just love you and I'm just so glad you're all here. And without you, my day wouldn't have been as bright as it is. You carry the sunshine. You just came in. This sunshine just radiates off of you. Man, you're creeping me out. Nobody talks like that naturally. What do you want? You know, I've got no money. You know, look, I'm seriously, I got no money. And I ain't giving you my credit card because that'll bounce and then I'll owe a bunch of overdrafts. So forget you. That power and of love and of a sound mind. Ain't that a blessing? That's the spirit God gives you. Christians, you just need to be careful about fear. What if, what if, what if? You know how many times your what ifs actually come to pass? Fear knocked at the door and faith answered. Nobody was there. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter number 10. So is there a place for fear in the Christian's life? You better believe it. I'm smart. I mean, I think I'm smart. Everybody else thinks I'm a smart aleck, but I'm smart enough to know that there's some things to be afraid of. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 28. Jesus is speaking and he says, and fear not them which kill the body. Now, if you're not going to be afraid of somebody who can kill you, I'll kill you, man. Okay. What are you going to do with a guy like that? You have two options. If you look at a guy and say, I'm going to kill you, and he's like, okay. You got two options. Kill him or walk away. God says, fear not them that you can kill the body. Now, if we have that spirit about us, they got two options. Kill me or leave me alone. That's what God wants you and I to be like. That's how he wants us wired. All right, let's keep reading. But are not able to kill the soul. See? So if you kill me tonight, you do me a favor. I told you 100 times. I have like, if God will answer my prayer, I have my death planned out. I really do. I don't want it to happen fast. The rapture, any second, that sounds great to me. Outside of that, if I live to old age, I don't want to get like too old. I want to get up there. I want to be healthy, you know, great in my mid-80s or whatever, in great shape. I want to be preaching Jesus on a Sunday morning with the house packed. And I want some Muslim to pop up in the middle of the service and just drop me right there. Pow! And just go right out in a blaze of glory. And then our guys that are posted there, take him out. Don't hurt anybody else. And then that's it. Have my funeral. Praise Jesus. And move on. Amen? That to me, that'd be great. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to give me a promotion. That's all you're doing. You get me out of this stinking rotten flesh of mine that's getting older every day. And, you know, this world, this life, I mean, you know, I used to think I was something and I was going to tear the world up and this is great and the whole future's in front of me. And now I'm kind of like reality slapped me in the face, woke me up, and I'm staring straight into the steely cold eyes of reality. Life is life. I'm just another person. Don't love your life so much. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Make the Lord first. You make the Lord first, he'll make something out of your life that he wants it to be and move on. Don't fear him that can kill the body. They just give you a promotion. Fear him who can kill the soul. But rather, verse 28, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know what a Christian's to fear? God. He's the one that can destroy your body and your soul in hell. Now, you and I ought to have some fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord will change your life. If a Christian has the fear of the Lord, you know what they'll be? Consistent. 100% consistent. I'm not going to be one thing here and another thing on Monday at work. I'm not going to be one thing here on Sunday and Friday night I was something else, you know, out on the town with the boys. It's either right or it's wrong.
if God is who I'm seeking to please, if the Lord is the one I'm serving, then my life will be consistent on all levels. You and I ought to have a fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Think about David. What was David afraid of? King David. A lion? Bro, I'm sorry, but if a lion come walking up in here right now, these windows, they're going to be like, psh, you're not going to open those. We're going to be gone. Gone. Big old African lion come walking in here. Right? You know what David was like? God told me to take care of these sheep. You don't look like you're in the will of God right now. Because me and you ain't on the same page. God said take care of these sheep. You look hungry. Here goes nothing. Think I can take them, guys? Who's got their money on me? Let's do this. And he slays a lion. A bear. And he slays a bear. David walks in there to Goliath. I don't think there was anything in David that was like arrogant, but I think he was confident. He had 5 smooth stones. How many brothers did Goliath have? You know what his plans were? I'd be willing to bet you. I'm going to ask God when we get to heaven. I got a quick question. Where's David? Tell me about that, man. What were you thinking? I thought that is so cool. He goes right down there while the whole army is sitting up there. And they're like, what's this crazy, stupid kid, man? You are wet behind the ears. We've been killing for years now, drilling, training. You don't even know what it's like to drill. Yeah, but you know what? God gave me a job to take care of some sheep. When something came in the way and tried to get in the will of God, I stood up for God and I slayed that lion. A bear came in, I stood up for what God gave me to do and I killed that bear. God delivered them into my hands. God's going to deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hands. And I think he was ready for his brothers too. Ain't that cool? What was that man afraid of? David had a fear of the Lord. A fear of the Lord will give you a boldness that make other people think you're crazy. You know why we fear everything else and we fear to be a witness and we fear to stand up for what's right. We fear to face our wife. We fear to face our children. We fear to face... You know why? You're afraid of the wrong things. Psalm 147, please, and then we'll go back to Proverbs. Psalms 147, 11. Psalm 147, 11. This is one of the Psalms of David. He says in Psalm 147:11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. So how do I know if I fear the Lord? How do you see the Lord? That's a good question. How do you see the Lord? Well, I'm saved. Okay, good. That means your soul... The price for your eternal sin, the eternal price for your sin has been paid, right? So to be saved, that's a Bible term. Born again is a Bible term. I had never seen it before. You guys are getting wacky. I seen out in the parking lot a new sticker. It's a parentheses. It says born and it's got a 2. That was you, wasn't it, Alex? Yeah, it's sweet. I called you wacky, but I got stuff on my car, so it's nothing personal. I've never seen that. Born twice. Well, that's pretty cool. Where did that come from? That comes from the Bible. That's a biblical term. So to be born again, to be saved, is to have my sins forgiven. My eternity is taken care of. Where does that come from? Well, from what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It ain't from you and from your church. Stuff nauseates me, you know. You know that there's no salvation outside of the Holy Mother Church. Where do you get that from? Somebody was telling me, it was Mary. She's not here tonight. She was telling me tonight that she used to pray prayers to Mary. And she never believed that she was a co-redemptor like some do. But she used to pray prayers to Mary. She thought that she had special favor with God. She said, when I started reading my Bible and looking into my Bible, I'm like, that doesn't have any basis at all in the Bible. So, you know, the salvation's not in all the stuff men make up. The Bible teaches it's in Jesus Christ. You got that squared away. So what happened on that day? You had peace with God. Amen. I mean, man, I felt like a load lifted off of me. I don't know about you, but I felt like a load was lifted off of me. And it was the forgiveness of sins. It's a spiritual thing in your heart. And you know what happens. Kid me. Well, I think I'm saved. You. I mean, like God Almighty moved into your soul and you didn't know it. Give me a break, man. If it's real, you ought to know it. So, praise the Lord for that. But then afterwards, you see so many Christians just start living their life like we're cool, me and Jesus. So, and you know what they do? You know what you see in the Christian's life? You see this behavior pattern that becomes, because God saved me, hey, I got saved selfishly. Can I be honest with you? I got saved selfishly. I did not want to go to a devil's hell. And the Bible said that if I went there, I'm an intruder. That's not where God intended for man to live. Where did God intend for us to live? With Him. He created us to walk with Him and fellowship with Him. A devil's hell has nothing to do with where God wants me. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. You go to hell against the will of God, tripping over the grace of God, spitting in the face of Jesus Christ crucified on the cross of Calvary. Men get to hell because they make up their mind they're going there and they don't want anything else. They resist the Holy Spirit. Not one person's going to stand there and go, God, if you'd have showed me, He showed them in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And when a man looks out at creation and goes, man, there's got to be something bigger than me. Let's pray to the sun. And then God goes, okay, fool, I'll make it go dark. Where's your God? Let's pray to the moon. Okay, fool, you'll just miss it. Where are you going to go the vast majority of your time? It's not present. I'll pray to the tree. All right, I'll send some beetles. I'll pray to the rock. All right, sit there and keep staring at it. I'll send an earthquake and crack your rock. When a man responds to creation and conscience, God gets that man the truth. Praise God for that. That's a blessing to know. If I wind up in hell, I wind up in hell spitting in the face of God, just rejecting everything He's trying to show me. So I get saved. Praise the Lord for that. I got saved selfishly. No doubt about it. You know what happens when we don't really grow much spiritually after we get saved? We think that that God who bailed us out, which is all salvation is, it's, oh God, I'm in a mess. God, bail me out! God, without you, I can't make it. Oh, help me! Me! I receive with you. Thank you! Help me! And you get that help you need, right? You know what you're supposed to do with time? Grow. Grace and the knowledge of our... It's supposed to stop being all about you and start being all about Him. Let me ask you a question. When you have a baby, mamas, when that baby's born, you guys do all this bonding. You think that kid really loves you like you love it? Spoken by a mom who's glad she doesn't have infants anymore. No way. You realize how evil those kids are. I love kids. I love kids. I love your kids. I pray for them. God bless them. I love my own children. But you realize how evil they are. You know sometimes when they're little, if they could, if they knew how, they'd... Pow! They're selfish. And what are you supposed to do? Love them and train them up. Right? Christians, get saved and stay babies. So it's always all about them. It's God, what can you do for me? Jesus, what are you going to do for me today? Jesus, when am I going to get a better job? Jesus, when am I going to get a promotion? Jesus, when are you going to fix this idiot I'm married to? Jesus, these kids. Jesus, me, 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 me. It never changes. It never becomes about God. That's a problem. That's an issue. So where are you at spiritually? How do you view God? Is He the big grandpa in the sky, Santa Claus? Oh man, hold on a second. I gotta get this. I gotta recall this right because I always mess these up. I should have wrote this down. I didn't plan on telling you this. Alright, so
Oh, give me a minute. Give me a minute. So this little boy, his mama says, you know, they don't believe in Santa Claus. They believe in God. So she says, tells him, she says, hey, look, you know, Christmas is coming. And you want the Lord to bless you? Yeah. Well, you need to go get right. You need to stop misbehaving so much. You need to go tell the Lord what you've done and get right. So he goes in his room. He kneels down. He starts thinking about what he's done right. He's like, you know what? I need to write a letter to Jesus. I need to just tell him all I've done wrong and just get right so that he'll bless me. Mom and Dad will give me a good Christmas. So he starts writing some stuff. I'm like, no, that doesn't work. Crumbles it up. He tries again. No, that doesn't work. Crumbles it up. He comes out. Mom said, how are things going? You telling Jesus what you need? He said, yeah, I'm working on it. I just don't know what to tell him. So finally, the little boy, you know, he's on his bike later. He's on his bike. He's riding by the Catholic Church and he sees a statue of Mary. He runs over there, grabs that statue, runs home, stuffs that statue under the bed. I don't do right. Gets out a piece of paper. He says, Jesus, I know I've been bad lately, but I got your mom. If you ever want to see her again, give me a good Christmas. I'm telling you, that's the way Christians act. It's just me, 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 me. Are you in Psalm 147:11? The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. Do you think you need mercy from God? Your prayers, when you pray to God, is it your wish list, your want list, bless me, show me your grace, unmerited favor, more, more, more? Or is it, man, Lord, I can't believe I thought that about brother so-and-so. I can't believe I said that about sister so-and-so. I can't believe my mind went there. I can't believe I have that attitude. God, forgive me for this. God, I fear you. And if I got what I deserve from you, you'd bust me up. You'd take the good things I already have if I really got what I deserve. I'm not illustrating anymore. I'm testifying. If I really got what I deserve, I wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't have anything I have. I haven't got what I deserve. God's been good to me. Boy, you know what? I hope in His mercy. I ask Him. I fear Him. I ask Him to continue to be good to me. Let me ask you a question. Just to put this in perspective here. If God told everybody in this church, right now tonight, everything there is to know about you, your thought life, your attitudes, your business dealings, your spirit, the way you look at other people, talk about other people, if God got up here tonight and just went down the list and exposed who you are and how you really behave, where would you sit? Would you be holding your head, rushing out that door as fast as you can? I ain't going back to that church. Them people know too much. Come on. If that ain't the truth, you ain't human. I'm glad I got a merciful God, because I'll tell you something. He knows a lot about me. And He knows a lot about you, and He's been merciful to us. We owe Him some fear. And if we'll fear Him up front, we won't have to constantly be going, oh God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. You're still going to sin. Understand that? I don't believe in that sinless perfection garbage. I don't think that's not biblical. You can show me a couple verses in the Bible that are taken out of context to teach such a thing. But that's not what it's teaching. And if you got questions on that, come show me your text and I'll show you what I'm talking about. It's not teaching sinless perfection in the flesh. I'm saying this, if we fear God, it'll keep us out of a lot of mess. I'm telling you, there's stuff when I was younger I just didn't get into because I was afraid my dad would knock my teeth out. I'm talking old school stuff. I mean, you know what, man, these guys, some of my buddies, their dads were chumps, man. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful, but they were chumps. They let those boys get away with whatever, just acting the punk, sitting there on the couch, wouldn't pay any attention, wouldn't turn and look at them when they walk in the door. They could run right by him. I mean, they could get anything by their dad because he is a chump. My dad, he'd grab him and say, where you been, boy? You're 2 minutes late.
2 minutes? You, by whose clock? My clock said, don't matter what your clock says, matter what my clock says. You need to sync up, boy. You in big trouble. Where you been? What you been doing? Why are you late? Where, oh, really? Is that where you guys were at? Man, if it had been in this day and age with the technology we got, he'd have been tracking and videoing everything, man. I'd have been in so much trouble. Amen. Teach you a little bit of fear. It'll keep you out of trouble. And can I just tell you, God's watching you. That ought to keep you out of some trouble. Look at verse 2. We'll finally move on. We're only going to verse 7. We'll be out of here in 7 hours. One of these days I'm going to take you up on it. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. The word transgression means the act of passing over or beyond any law or rule of moral duty, the violation of a law or known principle of rectitude, a breach of command. For the transgression of a land. You know, you got a land that has breached a lot of commands. Folks, we have got an entire nation now that just breaks rules. Disrespect for authority. One or two bad eggs have been caught, you know, police, bad eggs. You know, everywhere, in every position, on all over the planet, there's always going to be a few bad whatever. Now there's an utter disrespect for police altogether because of a few. I've met some real good ones, man. I mean, real good ones. I mean, for whatever reason in jiu-jitsu, there isn't as many in this school, but in my old school, the cops are the ones that liked me. I don't know why that was. I think they like beating up on me or something, you know? I have some good guys, man. They're doing their job the best they can. They're human, but they're doing their job the best they can. You got an entire nation that's all about transgression. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. You know what that shows you? A lack of stability. A rotation. You know what you got in the pulpits in America? I believe, I'm going to be conservative in this, because I think the number's a whole lot. I think the number's about half. But the average tenure a while back of a pastor in a pulpit was 3 years. That was a while back. I think it's half of that. Are you kidding me? Churches turn over their preachers every couple of years? How in the world are you ever going to stay somewhere and grow together with the church? My job is, according to the Bible, my job is to feed the flock, right? It's just to give you Bible and help you learn so you can become the person God wants you to be, not make you the cultist, you know, follow, dress this way, act this way, walk this way, think this way, but just give you Bible so you can grow in the Lord and you can learn some things, right? That's the job of a pastor, feed the flock, oversight. You know what a pastor has to do? He's instructed more than once in the Bible to take heed to himself first. I have to make sure I'm growing spiritually. If I can do that, I can help you grow. If I don't do that, you're going to get to a point where you outgrow me. What happens if I am constantly being replaced? How in the world does a church ever grow? How do they ever grow? They're stunted. It's, what's the problem? For transgression. Why do you see this in American culture? It's transgression. I gotta say this, and you know, take it or leave it. We rotate through our presidents. And I'm not against it. I'm not against voting and the balance of power and all that stuff. I'm not against it. I'm just saying, when God set something up, here was God's perfect plan. Are you gonna follow me with this for a second? God's perfect plan, and I'm as American as they come. Amen. I mean, I believe that I ought to be willing to shed my blood for this country. Okay? And it's wicked, I get all that, but I'm a patriotic American, okay? But America didn't die for me. And America's not, you know, the be-all, end-all of the world, and just because we're Americans doesn't mean God revolves around us. Okay, so now that we got that out, here's what I believe God plans. God plans a man to reign under the full control of his maker. God wants a king on that throne who walks with God, talks with God, knows God, studies the word of God, prays for those people, seeks the Lord, and protects and helps and prepares and does everything he can for those people that they can prosper. Passes judgment. That's what Jesus Christ is going to do in the millennial kingdom. That's God's perfect plan. You got something that's constantly rotating, it's going to struggle. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. You know what God wants? A man in that place that has understanding and knowledge. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. We're just going to stay in Proverbs, run a few references on this, and then we'll close with this verse, all right? So I won't be like Pharaoh, I'll let God's people go. Okay, that's an old joke. I need to come up with a new one. Appreciate your honesty, don't lie in church. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what would be great someday? To have a Sunday where everybody gives a quick testimony on how God brought them where they're at today. If you believe God put you in this church and that you're learning Bible here and growing in the Lord, then make that part of it. How did God, through circumstances, direct you and bring you here? Just one bizarre example. Not that you're bizarre, but your example is bizarre as Derek's. Yeah, you guys should have never found us. He's just raised Catholic. They were disillusioned Catholics, but he's just looking online, right? That's how it kind of all started, because he's trying to figure out, why am I here? Where am I going? What's going on? What is all this mess? Huh? Praying, and God just, here they come walking in the door. God, hey, look, if you'll acknowledge God and seek God, he'll direct you. Trust in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord? With all thine heart, and now watch, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I know a guy who's saved, and I believe he's as saved as I am, and all that, from what I can tell. And he has choked on a particular thing for 25 years. And what he has choked on is, well, what about the people in the Amazonian jungles who've never had a chance to hear? And he literally can't get, and you can tell him, you can teach him, you can show him, but he can't get past that. You know why? Because he's using his human mind. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, that's a cult leader. But he's leaning on his own understanding. And when you show him Bible doctrine, because there's no trust in the Lord, give me a second here. I'm really, really done. Give me a second. No matter what you believe, where do you think we came from? Pink aliens. Great. No matter what you believe it by faith. You are going to trust in something. I don't think any of that's true. Okay, then trust your own understanding. Well, I'm an agnostic. I don't think you can be sure about anything, but I think everything's possible. You know, the root word of that thing is, it's ignoramus, man. You're saying I'm kind of a moron. I don't really have any answers about anything. Whatever you believe, you're going to believe it by faith. Well, I believe in evolution. Okay, you believe it by faith. Well, I study the science. Observable and repeatable. You've repeated it. Good science. I'm not against good science. I'm for it. Observable and repeatable? Nobody's repeated a Big Bang. Well, we observe the... You start with your conclusion, and then you work your way backwards trying to find details that you can to come up with your conclusion. So you start with the roof, and you're trying to build back to the foundation. And what are you going to find, what Darwin himself said, claimed on his deathbed? I don't believe any of this stuff. I was wrong about it all. You're going to find huge gaps in their knowledge. Go on NASA.gov. They're going to confess right there, and this is the way God puts his fingerprints and thumbprints on everything. They confess right there, we have massive black holes in our knowledge of what's going on. But those are the guys that want to tell you, you don't have to have a Bible or Jesus Christ for your eternal soul. And they can't even tell you about the universe around you. They give you this, there's some cool stuff they can show you. I mean, cool stuff. And you know what they're saying? They're confessing, we know that much. No matter what you believe, you're going to believe it by faith. Now, I believe in God. He's made himself real to me. He's spoken to me. He's dealt with me. And by trusting in him, then I've looked into this book
open-minded. Like, in other words, if this ain't it, it ain't it. And the more you study the Bible, the more you're going to realize this is God's book. God knew science and put it in here before scientists ever caught up with it. I mean, it's got the fingerprints of God on it. So I'm not saying we ignorantly and blindly drink the Kool-Aid. I hate that stuff. Well, I was born and raised fill in the blank. I'm preaching it this Sunday morning. God ain't got no grit. I'm going to say ain't too. That's going to be in the title. Going online, I don't care who looks at it. It ain't good English, but none of us speak good English. God ain't got no grandkids. Well, I was just born and raised up. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll be done here. We're going to look at chapter 1, a couple verses, and chapter 2, a couple verses. Proverbs chapter 1, book of verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So right out of the gate, he says, wisdom, instruction, understanding. You and I need understanding. Look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Understanding is a step up from being a wise man. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. So if you're wise, you'll hear what God's telling you, and you'll just get a little something each time. You just keep increasing that. That's wisdom. But a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. So you're going to another level. All right, look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, do you have a desire to know? Do you desire to know God? If thou liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding, defined in the book of Proverbs. What is understanding? The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know what you and I need? We need to fear the Lord. We need to know the Lord. And as we grow to know the Lord, understanding. Have you ever sat in church and gone, oh, I get it. What is that? It's understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. There is nothing we need in this day and age more than a good, healthy fear of God, more than the knowledge of the holy and understanding. And the Bible says, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. You want your family to make it? Be a man of understanding and knowledge. Want your church to make it? I do. 10 years to me is a warm-up. I'm young and I'm so full of, I don't know what it is, zeal, spit and vinegar, fight, I don't know what it is. It's just, I'm full of it, whatever it is. I'm excited. I want to do something, man. I don't want to steal my thunder from Sunday morning, but man, I'm telling you, I feel like we're in a great day and age to get something done for God. And nowadays, the Christians are getting afraid. They're buckling under the pressure. They're getting distracted by the devil. They're disinterested, and they're giving up. I mean, they're giving up. Hey, man, we're going to get overrun. Great. You ever read about the Alamo? Custer's Last Stand, Geronimo. And there's something about being this one of the just the last areas hanging in there and just spitting in the face of the enemy and just fighting to the death. That's the generation we're living in. And we need some Christians who don't fear anything but God and are willing to stand strong for the Lord and try to reach some people and try to help them. And now the world's getting worse and worse. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. My mother-in-law sent a link to my wife. It scared her a little bit, and I haven't validated this, but it doesn't shock me. We know human trafficking is on the increase. And I guess according to this thing that Michigan's one of the top two in the country for human trafficking, even so much as Novi and Canton.
and women and girls getting stolen and disappearing. I know somebody personally whose niece got stolen. They haven't found her yet. It's a wicked day you live in, man. It's a wicked day. Wicked day. I don't know how I could sit. I don't know how I could walk in the pulpit knowing somebody's got my kid out there. I mean, man, you just want to go undercover and just slaughter them all. Just wicked day you live in. You know what you and I need? We need a man up. Excuse me, ladies. I know you don't man up, but you get the point, right? I'll be afraid of nothing but God. And grow in our knowledge of Him, and then let's make a difference with our lives one person at a time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed.